Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, we're cleaning up today on Kingdom Pursuits. As you might imagine. Because we have with us, we have Adam Hauser with Jan King of the Triad. So, you know, the King of Clean is with me today. I've never had the King of Clean before, but welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Robbie.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have so much fun. And what a good time to be talking about clean, because I'm sure we could all use a few tips, and we're going to get them today on Kingdom Pursuits. But also with me today, I have Ron Bracey. And Ron is the author of Walk On, and the subtitle to that is From the Valley of Despair. But if you're of my generation, you know, which is a lot older than some, when I hear Walk On, I'm thinking of the movie Carousel, and I can see Shirley Jones singing it and the tears pouring down my eyes. But I imagine yours is a little different idea, right, Ron?
Good morning, Robbie. Yes, it's a little different idea, the idea of despair in our lives and what brings about despair, and it affects every person in the world. So it is a message of hope that comes from the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament.
How cool is that? I can remember I read the Full Armor by William Gurnall, which is one of those old pilgrim, you know, from the 1600 books. That, you know, has got 4,000 pages that takes forever to read. But he made a comment about despair I've never forgotten. He said, and he was actually talking about from a standpoint of armor that, you know, and he didn't use the Ephesians 6 version of the helmet of salvation. He used, and I'm trying to think of the reference, I think it's in Colossians, where it was the hope of the helmet of the hope of salvation, he said, because there is no way you can slap God in the face harder than by being in despair, because what you're essentially saying is, God, you're not big enough to tackle this in my life. And so
that's exactly right.
And so I'm thinking Habakkuk was way before William Gurnall had gone to that. So we're going to get some really wisdom today. But before we go to wisdom, you know, it's Kingdom Pursuit, so you got to hear a little Robbie's riddle. And so, as you might have mentioned, you know, we've got the King of Clean with us today. So, speaking of clean, last week it got really cold one morning. I don't know if you noticed, but I had frost. It was all over my windshield, and I couldn't find a car window scraper anywhere. So, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I had to use the little plastic store discount card to clean my windows. Have you ever tried that? You never tried that?
Yeah.
That.
I have.
It didn't work very well. I only got 20% off.
That was cute.
So next fall, you know, Adam tells me, you know, he's the King of Clean. He's going to be doing a lot of chimney sweeping. You know why?
Why, Robbie?
Adam knows. It's because it's flu season. You know.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The groans.
And I know you're going to love this, because one of the things that Jana Clean is just one of their favorite things to clean is churches. And now that we're meeting again, it's a great time to do that. So when Adam comes to your church, I mean, he is going to clean your piano keyboard like you've never seen. I mean, from sea to shining sea. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Are you in San Antonio?
We're in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
I know.
So, oh, I get it. Oh, okay. So, Adam, have you ever been asked to clean somebody's birds?
No, I haven't been asked to clean a bird.
So from what I understand, when cleaning birds, you might have heard this, Beth Ann, it's best to use a feather duster.
Oh, feather duster on the birds.
Yeah, yeah, that's really safe, you know, to do it that way. An elephant tusks. I don't know if you've ever tried that one, but I'm sure Adam would tell you that if you are about trying to clean some elephant tusks, you know, ivory soap, it's perfect. It's
the best way, right?
It's made for that, right? That's just the way it is. So, you know, at the end of all that hilarity, I hope it was hilarity, I do actually have a riddle today. So, you are going to have an opportunity to riddle this today. Noah's Ark was kept clean. I don't know if you knew that, but it was kept clean at a ratio of 7-2. What? Yeah, it was. Noah's Ark was kept clean at a ratio of 7-2. You know, so what got to be 7 on the seven seas? Oh. You can't answer
seven.
That. Don't answer, Ron, because all the listeners are going, I know. So you got to call in. And Beth Ann, if they call in, tell them what they can win.
Well, Ron, you can't win today, but you're a winner in our book anyhow. We're going to grab something great from the Kingdom Pursuits prize closet. And it's stocked full, Robbie.
Yes, we have books like Walk On from the Valley of Despair. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. If you can tell us, Noah's Ark was kept clean at a ratio of 7-2. So what got to be 7 on the seven seas? 866-348-7884. That was really fun. I appreciate everybody's patience while I just went on my cleaning spree there, Beth Ann.
I liked it. You cleaned up, Robbie.
I've always wanted to tell clean jokes. It's been my...
in the top of your list, huh?
Clean jokes are the way to go. It's just, you know... So dirty jokes just, you know, they don't get it, do they, Adam? You know, that's just not...
No, I hate dirt.
I know you do. I know you do. So I know that one of the things I know our listeners would love to hear is how, you know, before you could... When I was a salesman, we used to say the first and most important sale you make is the one you make to yourself, because you can't sell somebody on something you haven't been sold on. So I'm thinking in the cleaning business that God's got to kind of clean you up before you can clean it. So I'm interested in your own story, really, of how did God do that in your life?
Well, back in 2008, I was at the Essence Festival, and prior to going to the Essence Festival, God had been dealing with me. He had been dealing with me, and you know how the saying goes, people that are in church, really they're not in church, but they really go to church. So I was really going to church and really wasn't really involved and really in the church. And when I came back from the Essence Festival in New Orleans, I was driving to work, and God was speaking through me through the radio. There was a song on, and it was called It's Time for a Change. And that song was playing on, you ever heard of Tom Joyner?
Yeah.
And it was playing on that station. So I'm like, that morning, I really didn't want to listen to that. So I'm going to switch it to another station. I switched it to another station. And guess what song was on? The same song.
Yeah.
And so I switched it to a third station, and the same song was on. So I immediately called my wife and say, honey, this song is on the radio station. Is it on your radio station? No, it's not on mine. So I hang up, and I switch to AM. And guess what song is on? So I pulled over at that time. And since that moment in 2008, I think it was July 6th, 7th, I've been changed in terms of how I look at life and how God has dealt with me from that point on.
What a present. Wow. I didn't see that one coming. So Ron, we're also guessing that in your story, that in order to come back from the valley of despair, you had to be there at some point, so we're going to hear from Ron here in a minute. We got to go to a break while you can be thinking about my seven C's riddle. So we'd love to hear from you to call in, but I am very, really anxious to hear Ron's story, as well as more from the King of Clean. We're going to get cleaned up here today on Kingdom Pursuits. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. It may be a passion for clean, like Adam Hauser with Janet King, the triad, the King of Clean, and Ron Bracey, who is the author of Walk On from the Valley of Despair. And right before we went to the break, we were going to get a little insight from Ron on, you know, clearly it's the same kind of thing where you walked in that valley, I'm sure. And can you take our listeners there?
Yes, Robbie. In fact, there's some very similarities with Adam's story. I was adopted at the age of five, and I grew up in Arkansas. And, of course, my parents went to church every Sunday, and I went with them. And there was a couple of times as a child and teenager when I made a quote, profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But as I lived out my life, looking back, it was probably in words only. But after I graduated from the Air Force Academy, I was active in the Air Force, and my first assignment was to combat in Vietnam. While there, my wife had given me a Bible to read, and every mission I flew, I had that Bible with me. But when we came back, we went to Germany, and we went to a place called Zweibrücken, which means two bridges. And while I was there, we had started attending a church, small church, because that was what I did. But three college students from Ashbury College came that summer, and this was in July of 2001. I'm sorry, 1971, and they were preaching, and there was a young lady with them, two young men and a lady, and Libby sang this song, Here's My Life. And the words of that song speak of sonic booms, ghettos, war, and she sang that song every night. And on the Friday night, the last night they were going to be there, I realized that I needed to give my life to Jesus Christ totally and unreservedly. And that's when I came to be a true born-again Christian. And so that was a starting point in my life. And the first verse God gave me to share, to learn, was Jeremiah 33, when God says to Jeremiah, who's in a pit, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And God has taken me on that sort of a journey all my life. The moment of despair that is central in the book, though I tell many, many stories of other people, is the event in which our son was killed in the war on terror. He also followed in my footsteps and was a pilot. And so time stopped for me for 4 years. And when I finally came out of it through God's guidance, I realized that life must not be lived in the valley, but we live life through the valley to the point that we eventually, as Habakkuk talks about, come out onto the top of the mountain of praise.
Wow, so you can see we're going to get to Habakkuk here shortly because, oh my goodness, what a story. And, you know, what an honor it is to be able to thank you for your service. Thank you for your son's service. You know, there's just a whole lot there. And, you know, in each of us in our own way, Adam, we serve. And as you are serving there with with Janet King. I know a lot of people right this minute are in that place of despair. My mother-in-law was in her 80s, and she is just terrified of viruses and things like that. And so, your services, it turns out, is, you're going into these places that are actually quite dangerous.
Yes. It is what we're seeing, and we've been dubbed as essential in terms of being there for individuals that don't know what's in front of them in terms of the virus. So we're going into a lot of places that the virus is and disinfecting it and coming out. So we're coming in with the white hazmat suits and the hat and the gloves and the goggles and the spray guns, and that's who we are.
And so for those, I know that it would be really helpful to, what would you say is, your number one combatant? I know it's not ivory soap. There's not a lot of tusks out there, but what would you counsel us to use to try to combat this thing in our own homes?
Well, you've got to have a disinfectant. You've got to have a disinfectant that has a claim of killing the coronavirus. Most disinfectants that are out there have a 3 to 10 minute claim. So you've got to spray that in touch points that you touch on a regular basis and let it stay there for that period of time, and then you can wipe it off.
Are you serious? I didn't know that. So you got to spray this disinfectant that is, and what's an example of one that's 3 to 10 minutes?
The ones that people know that you probably can't get a lot of right now because people are buying them up in the stores on a regular basis. The Lysol is a good disinfectant that a lot of people can get, and it has probably 99.9%, and it has a claim to kill the coronavirus. But the only kill effect on that is that if you let it stay there for that period of time.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea. So you spray your Lysol down on that area that you may think, and then let it sit for at least 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then wipe it off.
Yes.
And do you wipe it off with more Lysol? Or do you just
use? You can use a microfiber cloth. You can just use a clean cloth. You don't even have to wipe it off. It can stay there. But you need to let it stay there for the length of time that the instructions will tell you. They'll tell you on the instructions what kind of kill rate it has.
My producer's over there looking at me like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And you can tell I didn't know that.
I think we're so conditioned. I think we're so conditioned to spray it and wipe it off. Spray it and wipe it off.
You're just wasting it when you do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Well, the other thing that's really clear to me is it kind of shows how much I pay attention to the directions.
Well, they are small. Robbie, they're very small.
I understand, but I'm talking about all of life.
True.
And so here we are. Habakkuk obviously gave us these wonderful instructions, Ron. And when the lady told me that, Ron's got this real insight on the book of Habakkuk, I was like, wonderful, because honestly, I've read the book I don't even know how many times, but I never remember just hovering there. But of course, God had that for you at such a time as that. So what were those instructions for you, Ron?
Well, I believe that the thing that most of us are guilty of, particularly as professing Christians, and believing and walking the walk with Christ, is that we life is okay as long as the sky is blue and sunny. For example, on 9/11, the sky was blue and sunny when I went to work in the Pentagon. By 10:30 later that morning, it was a totally different day. And that's the way life can be for us. Everything can be sun bright, blue sky, calm breeze, and in a second, our lives can change. And then the question is, how do we respond? the word, the phrase walk on is critical to understand that living the Christian life is not a just Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. It's every moment of every day. Oswald Chambers, the British writer of the famous, well-known devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, uses the term, in fact, it was in my reading this morning, Christ calls us to abandon our lives to Him in everything, all the time. It's not a one-hour event once a week. Because every moment of our lives, we must be walking on in His footsteps. And that's a very challenging thing for us to grab a hold of and to do.
So, as I'm hearing you, there's a couple things that... Number one, you were on 9/11, you were at the Pentagon when that plane crashed into the Pentagon?
Yes, I was on duty.
Wow.
And I was involved going back into the building, doing search and rescue for people.
And the other thing that I know everybody's wondering like me is, did you, that phrase, walk on, did you get that from Habakkuk?
Oh, yes. In fact, it's in the very last five words of the book, because beginning with verse 17 in chapter 3, Habakkuk is talking about...
Ron, I hate to stop you. We got to go to another break. So everybody's going to get out their Bibles. And like me, it might take you half an hour to find Habakkuk, but it's in there. And when we come back, we're going to find out how to walk on. And Shirley Jones has got nothing on my friend Ron Bracey when we come back. And we're going to find out some more tips that, oh my goodness, a man that reads the directions. This is awesome. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we are so really blessed today to have with us Adam Hauser. He is with Jan King of the Triad, and Ron Bracey. He's the author of Walk On from the Valley of Despair. And when we left our hero Ron, literally our hero Ron, my goodness, he was there on 9/11 at the Pentagon, and he was about to share where in Habakkuk we can see the walk on thing and what Habakkuk was saying when that was going on. Can you kind of give us the context of the passage, Ron?
Sure. The book opens in chapter 1 with the question that we all ask when issues and injustices and pain and evil come into our life. Habakkuk has obviously been dealing with this issue for some time, and he says to God, how long until you answer me? How long before you speak? Because God was silent for a period of time. We don't know how long. And Habakkuk kept saying, God, how long? And so God finally says, well, Habakkuk, I'll answer you, but you're not going to believe me. And then God foretells how that he is going to use the Babylonians to bring judgment for their sins upon the people of Israel. And then as the book progresses, we find the famous verse, the righteous will live by faith, which the Apostle Paul takes from Habakkuk and uses three times in the New Testament as center points of the message of faith. And then in the very last chapter, Habakkuk has a experience of God revealing himself to him in a vision. And then Habakkuk closes his book with this awesome vision of God with these words. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength and he has made my feet like deer's feet and makes me walk on my high places. And there you see this idea of walking on in the midst of despair, in the midst of everything that you love being destroyed, because that's what's happening. Habakkuk lives through the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And yet he would live by his faith. I will walk on because God is my salvation, my hope for life, no matter what is happening to me.
Wow. That's a really powerful message. And, you know, it's really, I don't even know how to phrase that God had this for you, because I can imagine a lot of things, Ron, that I could go through in my life. I've heard lots of stories of people that were there on 9/11 and different parts of that. But to lose my son, like, oh my goodness. And the despair that had to be in the midst of that, on these different things that you experienced, where did you come across, at what point did God open your eyes to this passage in Habakkuk?
Well, actually, I had taught the book when I was a teaching fellow at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I had taught it to various Bible study groups of couples just meeting, speaking, learning from Bible studies. I had taught it there. I had actually started writing the book, but it was merely as an academic endeavor. I had always liked the book because I'm sort of like Habakkuk. I question everything. I'm a very, people who know me, they know I'm constantly full with questions. And so when I came out of the war in Vietnam, I had a lot of questions. My mother died while I was there. I had squadron mates, two of whom I'm still part of a team trying to find because they disappeared. I came back with those questions. And so when God sent those three college students to me there in Zweibrücken, Germany, I was asking those questions of God. Why did my mother die? Why did my friends die or get captured? Why? And those three young college students, they were in my home, and I would go listen to them every night asking those questions. And it was only when I realized through God's word that here is my life. It must be a life that has some anchor beyond this world. Because the things of this world can disappear in a flash.
Oh, yeah. They really, really can. So, speaking of disappearing in a flash, right? That is kind of your world, Adam, right? I mean, you guys, you know, can you share with our listeners what all kind of cleaning you do? So if somebody's been infected in your business or at your church or whatever, this is the time to call the King of Clean, because you guys know how to get that straight. But what other things would you mention that our listeners might be helpful for them to know?
Well, we do the number one account that we have in our business right now is churches. And we do seven counties in the Triad area. The major churches over here are Mount Tabor Church and Ardmore Church. Those are big churches for us. One of the things that we do offer, we offer what we call a day porter. Somebody can come in and actually disinfect the church during the day. Somebody can disinfect the church while the services are going as well. We also deep cleaning. One of the things that's happening right now, the churches haven't been, nobody's been going to church. So the churches are just kind of sitting there, dust just kind of growing, and people are going in and out doing the pantries and all of that, but no big congregation. But those people can infect that church. So one of the things that we do offer is before church starts back up, let us get in there and disinfect that church. Because right now there's a sense of fear in our world. God did not give us a sense of fear, but it's here and it's in our churches. Because one of the things that's happening when church starts back up, we want you to be concentrated on what the pastor is saying versus what is beside you. And that's where we help people out. We take that disinfectant and we take that virus out of your church so that you can worship comfortably.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And so, you know, I can just see that there's all sorts of, you know, Sunday school classrooms and like they've been sitting empty, and you know, what a time for this to happen, especially, you know, if there's an infection. So, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, it's really got to be heavy on your mind if you're the person responsible for calling people into this building. Mm-hmm. If somebody were to get sick, you know, it's just, it's a scary situation. So again, if you go to kingdompursuits.com, I wanted to mention this, you can find Ron's book, which is Walk On from the Valley of Despair. You can order that. I saw the Kindle edition is only like $7.50. I mean, I like Kindle books, so you can go there, or you can just go to Kingdom Pursuits to get that, or you can see Jan King of the Tryon. You can click, get a free quote. I mean, they'll come out and share with you what they think you need, or you can just call and talk to Adam over the phone. The links are right there at Kingdom Pursuits, which is, you know, Jan King, the king of clean, and really, really cool that we actually have a Riddler on the line that is going to answer the question that I know is on everybody's mind. Probably not, but anyway, you know, how did Noah's Ark keep clean at the ratio of 7-2? Because when you think of Noah's Ark, you don't necessarily, do you, Adam, think of clean?
No.
No. But the good news is I think you'll see, you begin to understand God had a plan. He always does. And so we're going to be back in a minute. So we need your calls if you want to still get in on that riddle. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And, you know, for such a time as this, really, when you think about it, that, you know, God's called Adam into a different platform than he ever thought he would, you know, to actually be in a position to help churches as they wrestle through, you know, what is really, really difficult times of knowing how to open, when to open, what needs to be done, all those things, you know. Wow, you can hear Adam's heart. You can hear his heart for Christ. And wow, what an opportunity to find out, you know, there's no charge to find out what you may need or what you may not need. They're here to help, and that's his heart. That's all I heard during the break, is his heart is like, man, I really want to help people with this. And it's really the opportunity, as well as Ron's heart. If you've been listening, you can see which, by the way, Ron, you know, I don't know if you ever heard this, but, you know, John Eldridge always talks about a big part of being a disciple is what's your question. That discipleship has to do with learning and studying and all those kind of things. And so when this young man came up to John Eldridge one time, he said, well, you know, I want to, you know, be your disciple. And he goes, well, if you're going to be my disciple, what's your question? And so I have noticed over the years, Ron, I have, that great people of God have a lot of questions, because, you know, you go there to get answers. And so, speaking of questions, you know, I know you're wondering about these 7-2 ratio. I have the Riddler on the phone. We have my good friend Ann Alt, actually, is in Huntersville this morning. Ann, who is it? Seven? What do we got? A cleaning ratio of 7-2? You know, Adam will tell you that's great. What are we talking about?
Boy, do I identify with this whole show. Yes, it's Genesis 7, when the Lord said to Noah, come in the ark in your household, and you shall take with you seven of each of every clean animal. He was planning ahead, of course, for sacrifice. a male and female, two each of, you know, and so on, two each of animals that are unclean, and male and female, and so on. So after the 7 more days, I mean, a lot of sevens in there.
Wow, you just see, you just get the picture that, you know, you got 7 clean ones to every 2, you know, there's just a whole lot of cleaning going on there, Adam, just saying.
Exactly. And I just beautiful. Also want to say very quickly that I'm telling you, I'm loving this show. First of all, God got me a cleaning job mid-November at a nearby church. So sorry. And I think it was in preparation for what we're going through now. But also, Ron, I can't tell you how this is speaking to me. My dad, now in heaven, was a brigadier general and 3 times at the Pentagon. My brother Jimmy was there the day of 9/11 as a paramedic, fireman paramedic. So I just can't wait to get Ron's book, you know. But this is, what an amazing show this is, Robbie. I mean, so inspiring, you guys. I just had to tell you that.
That's, they're fun, aren't they? It's really, really good. Thank
you. Yeah.
And so, Anne, you know, you've been a cleaning person since, you know, last fall. Did you know about the 10-minute rule there?
Did I know what?
About the 10-minute rule. You got to spray that stuff on and leave it for 10 minutes.
You know what? I had heard that, you know, but, and I, the people, the main,
see, I knew you.
Guy,
women follow directions better than men. I never would have ever. Thank you, Anne. God bless. I appreciate you calling
God
in today.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. So, Ron, what would be, you know, that first tip was such a knock me off my socks. If you got anything else that would be helpful for the average, ordinary person trying to stay clean? I noticed, you know, Ron came in with a mask. Obviously, you're taking this stuff seriously because you're around it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Ron, I mean Adam. I'm sorry. I get my names mixed up.
Yes, I came in with a mask simply because we are in that environment and we don't know how that's passed. So we have to go in with our gloves and our masks and make sure that we're be able to come back another day. Because if you contract that virus, you got to leave for 14 days, at least in my workplace, and you can't come back to work. So, yes, I require my people to wear a mask if they go into a location.
And you've got the whole, you know, real story, but we're almost run out of time, so I've got to go back to Ron real quick. And again, I would point everybody to the website to find out about Janet King and to find out about Ron's book. But Ron, in your book, there's probably this passage that you can hardly wait till the people read this. And you're like, man, when they read this, this is going to light up their world. And I know we've talked about the Habakkuk part. What else is in the book that you just like, man, God gave me this and it is so cool?
Well, no, the key verse that I mentioned that Paul uses in the New Testament, that the righteous will live by faith, we're impatient people. We live, you know, microwaves, instant on TVs, and all of that. And in the second chapter, God speaks to Habakkuk again, and he says, Habakkuk, record the vision. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will come. And that's one of the key elements of walking on. We have to wait, but keep our eyes on the vision, and the vision is always Jesus Christ.
That's so beautiful. Thank you all so much for being with me today on Kingdom Pursuits. Thank you, listeners. Wow, I mean, we just can't do it without you, and I'm so grateful that you shared your afternoon or your morning with us. It's fixing to be afternoon, so while you're at it, you get encouraging prayers coming up next, followed by The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.